On Sunday, we introduced the subject of divine emergence. And I want to say something. If you are a keen observer of the ministry of Newbury Christian Community, you will discover that every service takes you forward. There is no just their service. Even the Christmas service we held was an encounter with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no just their service. Every service is intentionally created to take you a step higher in your walk with God and in your destiny. It's like block upon block. Are you with me? That's why it's called the perfecting church. See, you can't but go forward. You can't but do better. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So on Sunday, we introduced the subject of divine emergence, and we define and explain emergence as, first of all, the process. Number one, the process of becoming visible after being conceived. Then we said emergence means to break out of limitations and structures that have kept you bound. And we said emergence means to come into the full manifestation of your destiny. I will encourage you to go back and listen to those sermons, please. As food is for your body, so is the word of God for your soul and your spirit. The Bible says, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. That should be Proverbs chapter 16, chapter 19 from verse 2. For the soul to be without knowledge is not good. So go back and listen. Train yourself to listen. But today the Lord is moving me to share something I've called drive. A secret code to divine emergence. Now, I know that when people hear the word drive, the first thing that comes to their mind is the motivation to work harder. And that is there, but this is a more deeper view to it. So, this whole sermon, drive, a secret code to divine emergence, this sermon is trying to ask you a question, or it is asking you a question. Why do you want to emerge? Are you with me? Why do you really want to become visible after being conceived? Why do you want to really break free from the limitations that have kept you bound? Why do you want to come into the full manifestation of your destiny? You see, until you answer these questions of the why, you will not have this drive strong enough to emerge. You know, some years ago, a friend of mine came to visit me. He was my friend in secondary school. And this time around, we had finished from the university. We had served. We're working. And then he came and he saw I was holding a special program and I was going to preach and all of that. And I was still working then. Then one day he asked me a question. He asked me, what is driving you? He said, all of us that were on fire those days in Scripture Union, not all of us are like you. In fact, you are a leader and now it's as if you are a halter. He asked me, what exactly is driving you? Why are you like this? And then it dawned on me that truly, there's something driving me more than what they thought was driving me. You know, this a good example of this is when children are born into Christian homes. So at a point when children are born into Christian homes, they are Christians because daddy and mommy are Christians. And they are Christians because daddy said do this or mommy said do this. Then they get to another stage of their lives where they have to really decide, why do I want to do this? Why will I be a devoted Christian or a devout Christian? Is it because daddy and mommy said? Now, it will be obvious. The way you see the way they carry out their Christianity, it will be obvious those who are doing Christianity because daddy and mommy said. Are you with me? And those who have really found that Christ is the way. What is driving you? Praise the Lord. Why do you want to emerge? If you don't answer this why, you will not have the drive strong enough to do the things required of you to emerge. Or in fact, if your priorities are wrong, you will get distracted with little progress. Yes. Little progress, your priorities are just distracted. In fact, in my little life, or in the little journey I've had, I'm calling it little because there is still more. Are you with me? We still day road. I've seen how easy it is to get distracted. Why did you really want to emerge? Do you want to shame others? Do you want to emerge to prove a point? Do you want to emerge so that you can say, I told you? Are you following me? Do you want to emerge so that you can... You know, some people, when they think about ministry, do you know what comes to their mind? I found out that it's not everybody that is holding mic for the same reason. Some people, what is in their mind when they talk about ministries? When they see like five black jeeps passing. Then they do an Instagram reel. Then people are running like this. Bam, 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 bam. They come and open the door for the pastor. Pastor is raka palaka. Then in the background song, they are playing. Then the man of God is just walking with suit and does like this. Then the video in Mina enters. Is he, are those things nice? Very important for publicity. But if that is your goal, if that is what is in your heart as success, you are, that means you are deceived from day one. Are you with me? If that is what is in your mind, if that's what you believe that ministries, you have problem. You have a big problem. Do you want to emerge so that you can talk about your Instagram followers? Verified, 100K. Is that important? Yes. We need to reach more people, Abi. But if that is why you want to get that so that you can brag, there is something wrong. Why do you want to emerge? Now, one of the major reasons why people fail at the top or lose their priorities at the top is that they don't get their motive right. They don't get their motives right. Many times, before they even set out, the motive is wrong. Sometimes, they set out with the right motive and along the line, they lose it. Are you with me? They may start out with the right heart and along the line, they just lose it. And you see, God will always see your motive before your motion. See, this is a very important teaching. You know. Sometimes if you miss this, this may be the reason why somebody will not emerge. This may be the reason why some people will not emerge. Because when God sees their motive, he will not back up their carnality with his power. Remember, it's called divine emergence. The reason why some people don't get the divine intervention they need for them to emerge is because God knows them. He knows that their emergence will be for the wrong reasons. There is a verse of the Bible that always gets me thinking. Ha! It always gets me thinking. Genesis chapter 18. From verse 17. And if we know the context of this story, it was when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God and two angels were passing by. They came in the form of human flesh. They took up physical bodies. But it was God and two angels. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Guess what? That means at this point, when God was making this statement, Abraham was not a great nation. As it were, he had not yet emerged. Are you with me? Abraham was not yet great, but God was saying, will I hide what I do from Abraham, seeing that he will become a great and mighty nation? Now, we are going to read more to understand why God decided that Abraham will be a great and mighty nation and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Why did God decide that this is what he's going to do? Verse 19. Everybody, verse 19. For I know him
that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. There is so much to say about this verse. So God is saying, Abraham will become a great and mighty nation because I know him. So that means there are things that God will do in your life, not because of what you have done, but because of what you will do. Hey, let me say that again. There are things that God has promised he will do in your life, not because of what you have done in the past, but what he knows you will do when he... That means your reputation in the spirit realm has a lot to do with your future. Hey! Did you just hear what I said? Your reputation in the spirit realm has a lot to do with your future. If God knows that this girl, if I give her 1 billion, we have lost her, he will not give you. If God knows that he cannot count on you for certain things, some things will not happen. So, oh my God, there are something that it is not prayer that will get it to you. It is the reputation you are building before God. Remember, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Okay. Think about Joseph. I've shared this thing before last year in our teaching, which we call Released. Learning a lesson in forgiveness. I believe that one of the reasons why God chose Joseph to be the one that would go through everything he went through and become prime minister of Egypt was because he knew that Joseph would eventually forgive. God knows that some people will not forgive. That when they have the chance to revenge, they will revenge full. Are you getting me? He knows they will not forgive. So he said, okay, instead of you to be the one that will go through everything and become prime minister, let's choose somebody else. Are you seeing that this thing is important? He says, I know him. So you can decide that this new year, I will build a new reputation. So that God can say, I know him. I know him. You can decide that from now, I will start building a new reputation. Look at what God is saying. That he will command his children, not he will beg them, he will command them. You know, I was discussing with one of us. He was sharing with me some things about how much is too much to represent Christ publicly. See, there is a way God knows that this person will be find it very, very difficult to represent me. You will start thinking, should we give him that level of exposure? Praise the Lord. You know, there are questions you need to ask yourself now before you get there. If I'm in an office and I am tempted with the opportunity to sign a check of 500 billion, and they assured you they will not catch you, will you do it? Money that does not belong to you. If you are in a government office and you have to sign that money away, and you are assured that they will not catch you, they promised everything is sure, everything is correct, they will not catch you, will you fall? You have to start thinking about it now. Does money have my heart? What is driving you for emergence? What is your drive? See, you must have a drive that is bigger than mundane things if you will truly and fully emerge. You must have a drive bigger than mundane things if you will truly and fully emerge. So, I've been saying three things in the past 20 minutes. That, number one, the discipline and focus you need will only... to emerge will only come when you have the right drive or motive for emergence. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yes, I've been saying number two, the right drive will keep you from distractions and deviations at the top. Number three, the right drive and motive will secure divine intervention. Are you with me? The right drive and motive will secure
divine intervention. Should I go over it again? Okay, so I've been saying three things for the past 20 minutes. That the discipline and focus you need to emerge will only come when you have the right drive or motive for emergence. Number two, the right drive will keep you from distractions and deviations at the top. Number three, the right drive and motive will secure divine intervention. Did we get that? Praise the Lord. Remember I said on Sunday that this teaching series is a journey. And if you embrace it, your life will change. And I mean every bit of it. Because you see here, emergence is in categories. You know that when David killed Goliath, he emerged. But he had not yet gotten to the palace. When he was anointed king in the house of his brothers, have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, Psalm 92 from verse 10, but my horn shall now be exalted like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The right rendition is, I shall be anointed afresh with oil. Now, what was happening? David was talking about the different times in his life when he was anointed. The first time was when Samuel came to their house and anointed him as king. And then that anointing took him to the place of killing Goliath and all of that. When he killed Goliath, that was the level of emergence. But there were some battles, so he had to run. Saul wanted him dead. And for 13 years thereabouts, he was running from Saul. And when he was 30, he was anointed king of Hebron, but not king of Israel. He was anointed afresh with oil. 7 years later, the whole Israel came together and anointed him king of the entire Israel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, every time when he was thinking about that thing, how God anointed him at different points and the different levels of anointings opened new levels of emergence for him, he thought about it. He says, lo, my enemies shall be scattered. My enemies shall be scattered, but my horn shall now exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed afresh with oil. I pray for you. This year, you are anointed afresh with oil. Yeah. Many of you have seen the move of God in your life. That's the truth. All of you, probably all of you have seen God move in your life at certain levels and at certain graces and at certain levels of manifestation, but there is a fresh oil. There is something called anointed afresh with oil. Amen. That shall be your story. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Second Chronicles chapter 16 from verse 9. Second Chronicles 16 from verse 9. Say that me, I'm blessed. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 from verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you imagine that? So, people are praying for God to see them. God is looking for who to use. So, the problem is, will God find somebody with his criteria? Say to me, here I am. Find me. Say it with a loud voice. Lord, here I am. Find me. So quickly, developing the right drive. How do you develop the right drive? What are the things to have in your heart as your why for emerging? Number one, you must decide that I want to be a man or a woman who will bring glory to God. You must start from there. That my life will bring glory to God. Not just glory to myself, but to God. Let God be having your thoughts. Bishop Oyedepo used to talk about something he called kingdom dreams.
I say, I have lived with kingdom dreams all my life. At a point in my life, I wanted to be a tech expert. You know why? I wanted, and I know that God will still do it in the way he was going to do it. I wanted to own an ISP, an internet service provider, a providing company, so that I can give as many churches internet supply to sponsor their messages. It was in my mind more than 15 years ago. I told God, I want to have enough properties so that because I used to go for evangelism, and I would see a lot of people who you are trying to preach to them, but they don't have a house to stay. And sometimes you cannot even bring them to your house. Are you know what I'm saying? Can't we have a large piece of land where we build like one-bedroom flats or two-bedroom flats, like 50 or 80 of them? Have a quarters for the males, a quarters for the females. And we say, when we win you as a soul and you don't have a place to stay, we'll keep you there. You will stay there for not more than 5 years till you get your foot. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? It has been in my mind, and I believe it will be done. Amen. New Bridge City is your reality, Abby. Yes, it's bread for us. I've thought about it. What is those days? I used to tell myself, I will be an MD that Monday to Saturday I'll be working. Sunday or Monday to Friday I can be working. Saturday I will do a crusade. Sunday I will use a bus and bring them to church. Coastal buses, bring them to church. And then I didn't know I would be a pastor. The glory of God. Sometimes, maybe it's not even this particularly. But you want to be an icon for Jesus. Think about Christ. Many people think they are thinking competition too much. Are you getting me? You know those things that happen in school where you get 4 over 10, but everybody else got 1 and you are happy. If you got 4, you failed. You know, when you see 5 over 10 in your script, you want to feel bad. Then you now discover 2, this one, 2, 2, 2. Me, I even got 5, self. Some people's lives are like that. They are rejoicing about what they should cry for because they feel they are better than all the people around them. That's not how to live. Praise the Lord. See, when God sees a man who is passionate for his glory, that man has become a candidate for divine emergence. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22. It's talking about Saul here. It says, and when God had removed Saul, or when God had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. You know, one of the things that I've prayed to God in my life, that I will not be there or I will see the work of God suffer. Thank God for church, what we call denominationalism, like New Breed, Living Faith. But in the spirit realm, there are some things that are more than that. Do you know? I know that, see, if any church is failing, it's the body of Christ that is failing. I know some people don't understand this. That is why when you see a Christian saying, my church is doing well, your church is not doing well, that you are a child. Did you hear what I just said? You are a child. You are a spiritual baby. I cannot talk about, and I may never talk about, the church's New Breed has paid rent for. I mean, non-New Breed churches. So are you hear what I'm saying? I can't be here and see the work of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know what it means to snatch a soul from hell? Do you know what it means? He said, I have found a man who will fulfill all my will. All my will. Can God say, I have found you? This one will do all my will. You know, something was happening to me some days ago. I was trying to work on a sermon, like something on my computer actually. And the computer was misbehaving.
If I'm telling the computer, if I'm trying to control the cursor to go left, it's going right. It was always doing the opposite. And I battled to do something I could have done in 1 hour. I used almost 4 hours to do. Then the Lord now ministered to me. This is how I struggle with unyielded men. I was like, yeah. He said, this is the struggle you are going through. At a point, I put up the computer and just threw it somewhere. He said, that's how at some point I have to leave some people. Because they are unyielded men. Say after me, I will be a yielded vessel. You know, many people are fighting for their own glory, whereas their true glory is in God. Look at David. This is David we are talking about. Too. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 26. He says, 1 Samuel 17 verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him. So you know when Goliath was threatening the Israelite army, and David was sent to give food to his brothers by divine coincidence. And he got there, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that cleared this Philistine? Now, that is him looking for his own pocket. Listen. What shall be done to the man that cleared this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So, that means even though David was seeking for his own, the bigger concern in David's mind was, who is this person reproaching the kingdom of God? Are you with me? I'm going to show you something very interesting here. So, he was saying, who is this one that taketh away the reproach? Who will take away this reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? When you study what they said in verse 25, and the men said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel. Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. Do you realize that? Of all the things they said there, they never said the person will be king. They never said the person will be king. They just said he will get great riches and will give him Saul's daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Do you realize that? The things that they were giving him actually was far lesser than what God wanted to give him. And guess what? Even the riches and the daughter that Saul was giving him, Saul actually wanted to give him eventually to trap him, to destroy him. If you read, should I open it? 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 20. Or let's read from verse 18. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life? Or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king. But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, Jesus, the wife, King James, day your day. Verse 20. And Micah, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Everybody read verse 21. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare unto him. So, what am I trying to show you? Seeking God's glory is far greater than seeking for your own pocket. That thing you think you'll be seeking for yourself may be your problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She said, I will give him Milka, that she may be a snare unto him. The blessing of the Lord, he maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. The thing you may be trying to fight for your own self, it may be a snare. This was the lady that gave David problem. David wanted to praise God. She said, look at you. You are the one embarrassing yourself. And she was the only woman in the Bible that died barren. Well, except I mean the glory of God above all else. Number two, Number two reason why you must emerge. Please, I hope we got the first one. So the first one is you must emerge for the glory of God. Listen, if you don't emerge, there are levels of glory that your life cannot bring to God. If you don't break out of the way you are, there are levels of glory that your life will not bring. You think God is glorified? See, if your people say, what about people who are suffering? Listen, suffering only matters when your suffering brings glory to God. Do you know that there's a biblical teaching like that? Where your suffering can bring glory to God. For instance, if God calls a person to go and be a missionary in a remote area, the person may never be a millionaire. And the person may be in God's perfect will of God. His suffering is bringing great glory to the kingdom. Are you with me? But when your suffering is not adding anything to the kingdom, the suffering is not contributing anything, what is it now for? Are you with me? Souls are not being saved by your suffering. Souls, nothing is happening for the glory of God. Waiting to happen. If they suffer, you let suffer. Are you getting me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number two reason why you must emerge for your family. Genesis 45 from verse 5 to 8. And when I mean your family, I'm not just talking about your biological family. I'm also talking about the people that God has connected to you and your destiny. Let me tell you something. You may not agree, but there are people who you are connected to, or they are connected to you, that there is no other person that will help them except you. You may not believe it, but it is true. Hey! Your family and the people God has connected to your destiny, if you don't emerge, they will remain on the ground forever. Genesis 45 from verse 5. It was Joseph talking to his brothers. He says, and now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. That means if Joseph did not emerge, those guys would have died during the famine. Are you with me? Verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. There are some people whose life... Ah, my God. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8 is sweet. That's why I'm reading it. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. Oh, you are the ones that you think you sold me as a slave, but it was not you, it was God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. See, if you don't emerge, there are people who will suffer and die. Take what I'm saying seriously. One day, I was talking to a young man with me. He was telling me how his family is going through something that he does not know. It's like he should just pause his education and try and use the things. And I said, see, if you don't go forward in life, that family you are going trying to help will not be helped. I said, their deliverance is in you going forward. If you don't try it, face your book and move forward. It is only when you are free you can make your family free. Yes, I told him, only when you are free you can make them free. If you really love them, invest in yourself. If you really love them, do well, grow, emerge. And measure the point. Let me tell you, if you are not so strong, there are things you will carry, you will break down too. You will become as powerless and as helpless as them too. So you must make yourself strong enough. Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. That means if there's anybody in your family that is doing well and you are fighting, you are doing yourself. Are there people who will eventually emerge and forget their family? Yes. Eh?
But eventually, that's why it's not all about men. It's all about, it's God is the eventual lifter. Are you with me? There are people around you. I will not mention her name. There's a lady in this church. She's like my daughter. She literally grew up with me. When the ministry started, one day I was praying. I had not seen her before. Listen, I had not seen her before, but I saw her in a vision. I saw myself open a gate for her and said, come, welcome to your destiny. I'm telling you. So then I was like, who is this girl? The day she came to church, I said, in my heart, I said, welcome. Say after me, I will emerge. The third reason why you must emerge. To fulfill the divine script for your life. And for me, this is the strongest. This is the strongest. Acts chapter 20. See, are you blessed?
Yes,
say after me, I'm blessed. Acts 26 from verse 14. Acts 26 from verse 14. This was Paul talking about his conversion experience to King Agrippa. See, it didn't suit me too much. End of my read, Acts 26, it used to do me like spaghetti and chicken. God, it's too sweet. He says, and when we are all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What does it mean, pricks? It means when you have barbed wires. That's what Jesus was trying to tell him, that you cannot kick against barbed wires and not bleed. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. You know, Paul never persecuted Jesus directly. It was the sense. And Jesus was saying, it's me you are doing this thing to. So, verse 16. Jesus was now talking to him. Jesus said, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. Everybody read with me verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Everybody, verse 19 with a loud voice. Whereupon? Hey! That means there is a heavenly vision for me. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That means when heaven looks at your life, there is something they have seen about you. I must not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Oh my God. I know in this context, Paul was talking about his vision, but it ministered to me in a more deeper way. I was not disobedient. That means if you end your life and come before heaven, heaven will look at that vision and look at you. Were you obedient to this thing? I cannot forget where I went to ease myself in Benue State. I was praying and fasting. And I was pressed. I went into the toilet and I heard a voice that said to me, I have planned a minimum of 100 million people to be saved through your life. I turned back. There was nobody. 100 million. That's what the Lord said. A minimum of 100 million people. So that means new breed. We must have a minimum of 100 million disciples. See, after me,
it's done.
I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. This thing should drive you. Sometimes you want to sleep like this. You know what they call the sleep of death? Sleep of... The sleep will not make sense. You remember, there is a heavenly vision over my life. I must not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. It will make you work hard. When you want to forget about all the things God has put in your spirit, let me tell you, some of the dreams and goals you think you are the one that made up for yourself, God is the one that put it inside of you. Say after me, I will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen.
I have seen myself in the spirit many times lead worship in a stadium where people are just crying and they are expressing how much they love Jesus. I've seen it. I've seen it. Do you know why God gives us prophecy? Do you know why sometimes people give you prophecy? God is trying to help you see that there is a vision for you. So what we call prophecy are snippets or excerpts from that grandiose vision, and God is giving it to you, saying, when you want to lose your way, see. Are you with me? Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. We talked about this during the blueprint. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 6 to 8. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Ah! I have kept the faith. We'll just stop there. I've kept the faith. So when you want to relax, when you want to give up on that dream, don't forget, there is something about your life. Are you with me? You know, anybody who knows my history knows that I have a thing with music. There is a music call on my life. At some point, I was telling myself, are you sure I should even break my head about it? Let me just focus on this preaching. Then I went to sleep. And in the sleep, I heard a song I'd written a long time ago. Then, the next day, my final Lord called me. Pastor Aaron called me. He started singing a song for me. I am soaked in your presence. He said, you are the one that wrote this song, right? I said, yes. He said, where is the song? You see what is happening? God is trying to tell you. You know, there are some of you, there are chapters in your life you want to close because you think it can no longer happen. Don't be disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know, me, one. If I know about that chapter, we must open it too. You must become that thing. He said, you wrote this song. I said, yes. He said, David, go back and sing. Go back and sing. Sometimes some of you want to close that chapter because it looks like other people are doing it better. That's not the issue. Don't be like the man who buried his one talent. The master deals with you individually. He does not compare you to another person. There are some that were given 10 talents. Some were given 5. The guy who was given 5 cannot fight the master because another one was given 10. Take your 5 and do something with it. Some of us, God will lead us to start ministries. Some of us, God will lead people to partner. Some people will be musicians. Some people will be business people. The one he gave you, do something with it. Don't compare yourself. See, don't throw away what you are given because it looks small. Jump on your feet. We're going to read, as we stand on our feet, we're going to read Philippians 3 from verse 13 to 14. Then we'll pray. Philippians 3 from verse 13 to 14. Is everybody 1, 2, 3 go? Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, everybody with a loud voice. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. There is a mark for your life. There is a mark for your life. Some of you, God has told you you will start mighty companies. Don't stay where you are. There is a mark for your life. Begin to pray in the spirit. I will not be disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I will not be disobedient unto the heavenly vision. I will fulfill my course.